Edition of the Army Talk Spotlight Series, the series that highlights the people, the companies, and the technologies that are shaping the future of retail. I'm your host, Chris Walton.
And I'm Ann Mazenga.
And I am personally really interested in today's conversation and today's guest because I can think of no topic more important given today's macroeconomic environment. There may be some that are as important, Ann, I'll give you that, but none more important than being right priced at the shelf. And so joining us to share his expertise on the subject is Chris Stoyles, the Chief Executive Officer at Last Yard. Chris, thank you for joining us and welcome to OmniTalk.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Anne. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
We're excited to have you. And you are not from the Midwest, Chris. Where are you joining us from today?
It's 6 a.m. over in Perth, Western Australia, so quite far away. And I apologize if my accent makes me hard to understand.
Oh, no.
Good on you for getting up so early and joining us. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's still dark outside. Lucky I've got this filter on and this light on my face. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to see me.
Gosh, this is amazing. Well, Chris, I want to just start by sharing with our audience a little bit about your background, because when Chris and I met you, your background to becoming a CEO is quite unique. So share with us a little bit of your story, if you would.
Yeah. I remember reading that book once, The Accidental CEO, and it really resonated. So I started with Last Yard. We had a different name back then, back in December 2002.
Okay.
So I came on board back then as one of the founding team members and a software tester. And so since then, I've done almost every other role there is in the business. I did customer support, professional services, consulting, software development. I have a computer science background. Wow. And then eventually...
Wait, Chris, hold on. 2002, like what, were you just out of high school or something? Like what?
Yeah, actually.
You were.
That was straight after high school, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. The story gets better. All right. Awesome.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that part. And then later took over as head of product and technology. And then in October 2021, I stepped in as CEO. And it's been an interesting ride since then. And obviously, you know, now starting our international expansion out of Australia into the rest of the world.
Okay, well, we want to definitely hear about that. But first, let's talk. Okay, let's get into it. Like, so what is Last Yard? What is it that your company actually does?
So we help retailers execute their pricing and promotions at the shelf edge. That's essentially what we do. Now, it's historically always been print. That's where we got our start here. In fact, we've got an interesting sort of founding story here in Perth. One of our original founders, Ben, his parents actually owned a couple of supermarkets. And so his parents, Ben was quite a good graphic designer. His parents would get him to come in and write the tickets for that week, all
my
the specials.
Gosh, that's amazing.
Really? All the promotions and everything. Wow.
All by hand, right, back then. And so being quite entrepreneurial, Ben thought there's got to be a better way. I can probably build something for this. And it was called Signwriter back then. It's obviously gone through a lot of evolutions. But essentially started out in print, getting the price right at the shelf, making sure it's compliant, making sure it's accurate. And obviously since then, the number of different ways that retailers are communicating in store has started growing, right? You've got TV screens, you've got electronic shelf labels, all these different touch points. And so we've really sort of taken that same core technology and started expanding it out into these other touch points.
And so you guys are a platform that helps to manage all of those touch points. Is that right? Like from the TV screens to the signage, to the ESLs, to any substrate really that can display a promotional message. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. So essentially there's two core pillars to the platform. There's the data side and the design automation side. So on the data side, we aggregate all the different data sources that a retailer has. And I'm sure any retailers listening probably know, you know, have felt the pain of all their data is all over the place and it's not,
right.
You know, it's
I've
very
lived
hard
it.
To get
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. There you go. And so we aggregate from, you know, point of sale, ERP, planogram, inventory, e-commerce, pull all the everything together into a single source of truth. And from that source of truth, we then apply our design automation layer, which is really the templates, the look and feel. And publish that to whatever medium, or as you said, Chris, whatever substrate that the retailer is running. And I think it's especially powerful when they're running multiple, right? Because that's really when it's it's sort of it's managing from what that single source of truth is managing a lot of different mediums and a lot of different endpoints.
And Chris, I imagine the solution since 2002 when it started, I imagine it's evolved pretty significantly since that time. So is it a cloud-based solution too that's easily, you know, worked in and shared amongst everyone within the retail organization that uses it?
It is, yes. We migrated it all to a cloud-based solution quite some time ago now, 2015, around
2015.
Then. And so it's very rapid to deploy now, which is obviously important for operations, right? I think one of the key things that they're always looking for is it's got to be simple for stores, it's got to be fast to roll out, it's got to be easy to support. Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's fascinating. Going from handwritten signs and marketing materials from a two-store grocery operation all the way to this. I have to imagine, especially for all the retailers listening out there, that because you touch so many points within a retail organization, there are a lot of people who are benefiting from deploying Last Yard. But can you give some examples of kind of who you've seen the most engagement with typically when you have a successful deployment?
I mean, obviously the store teams are always a big one, right?
Okay.
They benefit a lot from what often used to not be very automated or not automated at all, to something that is, you know, saving hours and hours a day of their time. So that's a big one. I think IT at the end of the day is always involved, right? They want to make sure it just works. They want to make sure that no news is good news, and it should be efficient. It should be fast, and it should be reliable, right? No support tickets from the stores is a good thing. So no news is good news.
Yes.
So IT is a big one. I think, as I said, for operations, simple for stores. It's got to be quick to train or no training, which we always aim for, and it's got to be compliant as well. 100% compliant, both with their own internal sort of policies and pricing policies and things like that, and any legislation in the area. And then I think marketing and merchandising are big ones. They've often been stuck behind legacy IT systems that the retailers have had in place. And that's a big thing we come in and do quite often is the retailer will have maybe a legacy system they've been running for 20 years. Maybe they even built that ticketing system in-house.
Right.
And marketing and merchandising have probably been a little bit stuck behind that. And so we really try that their interest is really in bringing that agility back to what they want to do, not sort of having to go through these long-winded, slow and often expensive change requests just to get simple messages out there in front of their shoppers.
Well, and I that's exactly what I was going to hit on too, Chris, is like the agile piece of this, because it's not successful in a retail operation anymore to just take the one stack that you get of price label changes on a Wednesday and have them all in place by the weekend for shoppers. So how are you able to like do some of that in real time? Like how are some of the retailers that are working with you able to kind of be that agile, change as, you know, marketing and promotions are changing even by store in some cases with the Last Yard platform?
Well, yeah, it's interesting actually. A lot of because of the way systems have worked in the past, a lot of many retailers probably, you know, aren't quite that advanced yet in terms of being truly dynamic store by store.
Sure.
So the technology is there and able to do it, but it requires that to, I guess, be embraced, right? But I think in terms of what's happening right now, I think once you unlock that agility, we see marketing teams bringing their executive teams out to stores and really rapidly trying new concept, you know, jump in Last Yard, design up a couple of different offer types and a couple of different mock-ups, print those out, hang them on the shelf and just temporarily while you're in the store, and really start to explore what that customer experience is going to be like if you do add that that concept or that offer or that member's pricing to the ticketing or to the ESL. So that sort of rapid innovation at the shelf edge, I think, is really what is the first unlock at the moment.
Chris, one question that I have too that we're curious about is, you know, oftentimes we hear from the retailers we talk to that, you know, sometimes the ROI for different solutions can be hard to prove out. How do you mentioned the three constituencies that you have to touch or interact with. How have you proven out the ROI to them over the years?
So a part of the ROI is definitely the time savings and the efficiency that we generate. I think also when a legacy system is not working quite right, you often don't get the store ticketed properly for promotion, right? And so that's lost sales. So another big part of the ROI is actually just the shopper informing the shopper. Once we've got many customers that see that once they do properly promote all of their catalog specials that are going on that week, or they do properly highlight the products that are gluten-free or the free trade coffee, or they're starting to cater to the needs of their shoppers and get that information in front of them, right in front of that point of purchase. Their basket sizes go up and their sales go up as well, right? So it's both sides, it's kind of top line and bottom line.
So efficiency, cost savings, as well as overall better promotional effectiveness too. That's essentially what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah. And I should throw the shoppers in there too, obviously, right? Because that's
Right.
I think especially in the current climate, that trust is really important. So from a customer experience perspective, what they see on the shelf has to be what they see elsewhere in the store if that product is co-located, and the price has to match the price that scans at the checkout, right? And that's a big part of what we do too, is we unify all those different touch points in the store so that the customer experience is consistent, and that obviously drives trust, loyalty, repeat business, and that's worth so much to retailers these days as well.
Right, more confidence in from the shopper in the retailer,
That's
essentially.
right,
That's a
that
great point.
brand trust. I go and shop at this place because I trust that I'm getting, the price on the shelf is the one I'm getting, and the when it says I'm saving $2, I'm actually saving $2. Yeah.
Right. All right, well, let's shift gears a little bit because you're an expert here. I mean, you started out of high school back in 2002. I think I read somewhere too that Lashyard has 70 to 80% of the Australian market running on its platform. And so for those listening, that's pretty impressive. It shows you the degree to which this company has been successful down under, so to speak. But I want to go into something. You mentioned it really quickly earlier. You said the word, you said, well, not the word, but the acronym ESLs, electronic shelf labels. How have ESLs changed your value proposition in the market, and are there any new complexities they create for retailers who want to deploy them? Or said another way, quickly, what is your perspective on ESLs, Chris? Let's just put it there.
Where to start? I think ESL has been an interesting there are many parts of the world that really took off quickly with ESL, right? If you look at France,
Right.
for example, I think they're on the fifth or sixth generation of their hardware, right? They've had it for a long, long, long time. Australia has probably only just started taking off in the last 12 months in terms of ESL. And I think it's somewhat similar in the US. I think immediately the challenges are that in a food retailer, in grocery, the amount of real estate you have to present your offer to the shopper shrinks a little bit. And so you have to get very good about your design and how you keep that shopper informed and how you bring the offer to the forefront without losing all the other information. So I think there's that sort of operational aspect of it. I think where we spend a lot of time and a lot of work really sort of thinking through where we fit in the ecosystem. And I think we see ourselves as partners to the ESL vendors. A lot of our customers want some choice when it comes to hardware. A lot of our customers have wanted to try two or three different ESL systems side by side. And so what we really do is we if especially if the customer already has Lastyard set up, we allow them to rapidly try and roll out this other hardware because it's the same digital content going to each system, right? So yeah, look, I think it's about that choice of hardware, about making sure that you get the offer right on the ticket with or the digital ticket with the reduced space, and just having that choice going into the future. I think a big thing is that the hardware is changing rapidly. So a lot of even customers that we have here in Australia, they're already moving on to generation two of their own hardware, right? So they're going from a say a label that was capable of three colors to maybe one that's now capable of four or five. And straight away, if you have to duplicate everything that you've done in the first generation, you're going to have all of your price and compliance rules and all of your templates and all of your designs and all this operational stuff, you're going to copy paste. And then if you happen to roll out another generation, or you're still running paper-based ticketing in some areas of the store, well, you've got another duplicate of those rules. And so we call this like the fragmentation effect. And And you can think of Lushout as that defragmentation, right? That unification. And so I think the more touch points and the more systems that are running the shelf edge, the more of a need to unify those. Because if you've got six different copies of your price compliance rules running, it's going to be very expensive and almost, you know, sometimes impossible to keep those in sync with, you know, changing legislation. And even when marketing come to you and say, hey, we want to run this campaign or we want to make this change, that can be daunting because now you've got to do it across five or six different systems. So yeah,
right.
Sorry, yeah, that's a long-winded.
No, that was great. I was riveted by it.
Yeah, I was going to ask too, because I think, well, in a lot of cases, I think we see ESLs or different retailers see ESL deployment as kind of a one and done. Like you can automatically change prices, but your point that you made earlier is an important one. In that, you know, as you're trying to change and test offers to A/B test offers, like you still have to have one place where all of that, the design for those, the templates for those exist so that you can roll them out, right? I mean, is this something that, like, I think as a former marketer, this would be the thing that would be imperative to the success of the rollout of these campaigns. Are you seeing that to be the case with the partners that you've worked with, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. I think that the first 6 months of having ESL live in a network is a massive learning curve, and you see so many ideas and so much desire for innovation and you know, realization of how else they can effectively use this new medium, right? So you want to make sure you've got something in place where you can be agile and you can, it's not set and forget. You haven't just locked in this new system and you leave it for another 10 years. Yeah.
The point too, I think the point that's really important to emphasize too, you know, and, you know, is that what you said about the hardware, right? Like, yeah, we're still at the early stages of these implementations throughout retail throughout the world, really. And so we're going to learn more about what hardware works and what doesn't. And retailers are going to experiment with different types of hardware. They're going to, you know, they're going to change out their hardware. They're probably going to experiment, like you said, also with multiple vendors, because I mean, there's got to be some continuity issue here at play too, that your system helps enable for the retailers as well. If I step back here, right? Like you probably, you know, you don't want to have all your eggs in one hardware basket necessarily, right, Chris?
That's right. I think many retailers don't want to have that situation. I think it's the, you know, they look at software and hardware providers for store technology almost in a similar light, maybe, to the way they look at the rest of their suppliers, right? Is you want a network of suppliers that gives you resiliency and you know, make sure that you can always open that store tomorrow and serve your customers. So I think that's very important. Yeah.
Well, Chris, I want to get you out of here with this question, which I say get you out of here, but I think this will be a more lengthy conversation here than just one question. But the Fed here in the U.S. recently said that inflation is still running too hot. So I'm curious, you know, going back to the pricing compliance component of Last Yard, if I'm a retailer, what advice do you have for me as I'm trying to seek solutions that are helping give my customer the confidence that the price on the shelf is the right one, and just really how to navigate this type of environment?
Yeah, it's a big deal over here as well at the moment. And I think the thing that we're trying to focus on for our customers at the moment is helping them create trust, that trust I talked about with their shoppers, and that transparency, right? So it's really important that the price on the shelf is correct, right? And that if there is a saving, if there is some kind of offer being displayed, that any calculations that are taking place are 100% accurate. Because people will take a photo of that and post it online, right? And so like simple mistakes where maybe something hasn't been run through a rule, it's potentially just sort of come out of your raw data. That's one thing, because that really erodes trust quickly. And it's no good for the brand, because you do, you know, in this day and age, you do end up online as well. So I think getting that price right and getting everything else about the offer absolutely correct is going to build trust. And then it has to be the same when they get to the checkout. So their customer experience is both walking the aisles, picking their products, and then getting to the checkout and having everything line up with what they expected to pay, right? So I think our recommendation is really to focus on building that trust and that transparency around pricing, and make sure it's accurate.
Like it's easy to say that you want to, you know, make sure all the prices are lined up, that they're accurate, that you give the consumer confidence in shopping the grocery store or the sales floor, whatever. But how are you actually doing that? Like, how are you working with the retailers to ensure via the system, via the platform, that the prices are synced up correctly?
There's not, if any sort of retailer watching that understands their systems will know that there isn't just one price that you can go and get out of a database, right? Mm-hmm. At any point in time, you're looking at a product, there's multiple prices that are active right now. And so I think it's a partnership between all those people we talked about before, right? Like IT, operations, marketing, merchandising. Once you define your merchandising rules for the shelf edge, then you've defined, okay, what's the best offer? How do we determine the best offer we're going to show to our customer at the shelf edge? And that can be that can, to be honest, require some fairly complex rules, right? And so I think that and that's something we love doing, right? We like taking something that's really complex and making it simple so that it kind of seems like magic. But so yeah, I think it's first deciding how you what is the in what way are you going to show the best offer to the shopper? Because they might be a member, they might not. So they might need to see, look, if you buy one of these, you're going to get this price. If you buy two or more of these, you're going to get this price. And by the way, if you're a member, those two prices are now slightly less because you've got your loyalty card as well. And so I think it's about making sure that you take all the active pricing and promotion information that is usually running for every product in your store and making sure you distill that down to exactly what's going to scan at the checkout. So yeah, I think it really comes back to that partnership between IT and operations and merchandising to make sure that the customer experience at the shelf matches the checkout in terms of, okay, which prices can the shopper actually get on this offer?
Right. And so how does that work tactically, Chris? Like, is it an exception based report system that your platform enables? Like, are you looking at point of sale data versus what is supposed to be on the shelf and finding where there's exceptions and then reporting that back out to the parties that be within the organization? Like, how does that work?
No, it's really just it's an instant sort of rule calculation, right? So there's no manual intervention required. It happens just in time as we produce the content for the ESL or as the store clicks print, right? That it sort of gets resolved. And so it's like you can have different parts of the organization all loading promotions at the same time, right? You might have one area of the org that's responsible for competitive pricing because you've got a best price guarantee offer that you beat the competitors down the road. And then you've also got your trade teams and your commercial teams that are doing deals. And so one promotion can trump another one, right? So basically when you take essentially what LastJard is doing is it's taking the complete view of that product at this point in time and saying, okay, there are five promotions running for this. We can see that there's some competitive stuff that's come in, and we can see that there's actually some trade cycle promotions coming through. But the best one right now is that it's the lowest price because that's the policy we agreed on, and that's the one that's going to end up on the ticket. So a little bit technical, Chris, but yeah, that's kind of how it works.
No, that's helpful. It's super helpful.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you for answering every single one of the questions that Chris and I put in front of you today, for sharing just how this very complex organization of data, of pricing, of information, of marketing, promotions can all be distilled down very simply with LastJard. If people were listening, retailers have questions they want to ask you after this conversation, they want to get in touch with you to pick your brain even further. What is the best way for them to do that?
Thanks for having me, by the way. And it's been great chatting to you guys. I think it's always great talking to people that have a retail background. And I can get lost in the weeds sometimes down in the technical, but it's been really cool that you guys can sort of...
I can't imagine why. 20 years of doing this and starting with a computer science background and now the CEO of the company. Like, I thought you did a great job.
And Chris, you should never be afraid to get in the weeds with us, because that's why we do what we do. We can get into the weeds because we know retail and can do it a little bit better than the average journalist or reporter out there. So yes, we welcome the detail, my friend. Welcome it.
Yeah. No, that really comes through. It's great talking to retailers. I love it. So getting in touch, you can, if anyone wants to get in touch with me directly, they can email me, Chris at LastJard. I still answer all my own emails. And you can find, you can go to lastjard.com, right? And you can contact our sales team there or our support teams. And of course, we're on LinkedIn as well. So Chris at lastjard.com, lastjard.com for contacting our sales team. And say hi to us on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Well, that wraps us up. Thanks so much to Chris Doyle, CEO of Last Yard, for sitting down with us today. And on behalf of all of us here at OmniTalk, as always, be careful out there.